Here we are again. We have figured out how to use our mics.
We had our microphones backwards
for the last two episodes.
I'm so upset.
Remember when I said we were noobs? We are noobs.
We are noobs.
We were also very close to our microphones.
Yeah, and now I'm scarily far away.
Yeah. Like, I feel very far away. Like, I'm like at an arm's length.
That's a good...
Is that a good...
We're both putting our arms out and like...
But would you ever know?
I don't know. No, you can't see us.
I want to talk right up there with the microphone.
Yeah. Okay, that's actually something I was going to tell you when I was listening to it and as I was editing the first episode. We said see you next week and I was like, man, that's so difficult to end with like a see ya because they don't see us.
No.
No, but it was really funny just listening to it and being like,
hang out with you next week. I don't know.
Listen to us next week.
I'm not gonna lie. I listened to both of the episodes and
oh my god, I couldn't do it.
I have never hated the sound of my voice more than listening to this podcast.
Okay, so imagine editing both episodes and realizing how much you click your tongue before you say a sentence. Not you, me.
I've never noticed that about you.
Oh, now I'm so self-conscious about it. If you listen to this episode and onwards and you don't hear my lip click, it's because I've edited out every single lip click.
Wow.
Unless it's like you're talking and then I do it, mm-hmm. then I can't edit it out.
Wow. I didn't notice it at all.
It's because they were all gone because I edited them all out.
I'm not going to lie. That sounds like when I first started my YouTube channel, I literally went through and edited out every single Every single one.
Every was out. Every butt was out, which made me feel like Robin.
But
yeah, it made me think of Robin Scherbatsky when they all take a shot when she says mm-hmm. butt on the air.
Yeah.
Somebody told me like you should one day record the podcast drunk, and I was like, do you know me? First of all, and I was like, oof.
I know I would say things I didn't really believe. But I felt in the moment.
That's exactly what I said. I was like, I don't like what I say when I'm drunk. And I like know what I say when I'm drunk. And I know I hear it. But to put it on the internet
and have people
to hear what I say when I'm drunk.
Which apparently, so this is very, very nice. Also unexpected. A lot of our friends listened to
this.
And people were so nice about it.
People have been commenting and people came up to us all today. We're like, mm-hmm. I listened to it. And every time someone said it, I just felt my body want to go
like shrinking a little bit. Like,
no, please oh, did? Don't. Yeah. My friend I hung out with last night was like, oh, I listened to it. And I was like, why? We've talked about this. I did not expect anybody.
Literally anyone.
To do it.
I know.
But
they did.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm shocked.
I am too.
I'm flattered. I'm also kind of grossed out by myself that I thought anything else.
I might have to stop listening to it.
Oh, yeah. Everyone has told me about how much they liked how much we talked about Taylor Swift.
I know. Which is very good because I have many thoughts. I could say a lot.
We could do every other episode just on Taylor Swift alone, but we won't do that.
One of these days we will.
Mm-hmm.
Probably after we see her. I think after we see her, we're going to need to just dedicate an entire episode to her and our experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, you're not ready for this, Alex.
I'm not. Okay.
So, I need to ask you for advice.
Okay.
Because you know me very well.
Yes.
You know that I'm A, super single. B, against traditional norms. C, C, I hate dating apps. So take those 3 points.
Okay.
Do I sign up for a dating app? And also, which one would I sign up for? Valentine's Day just passed a couple days ago.
Uh-huh.
And I was very content not having any plans. Me and my roommates made plans with each other.
Nice.
But then I was thinking, I'm probably one of the only people I know that's not on a dating app.
Really?
I think so. Which I take extreme pride in. It's not even like dating apps are bad, but I just like the fact that I have never had one.
Yeah.
It's kind of like how I felt before I got my tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I don't have a tattoo. And then I got one and now I have a tattoo. But dating apps is the one thing that I don't think I could really, you know?
Okay, I'm just going to say this. I am so glad that I did not date in the world of dating apps, because they legitimately scare me. I don't... It's just
and
so
you were blessed with a good story, so whatever.
But it's so overwhelming to think about, like, your options and stuff. I don't know. I will say, if you want to start dating, that's the reason that I would get on a dating app. If you're interested in, like, I would like to go on a date with someone and maybe meet somebody, that's the reason to get on a dating app. Because, like, if you just want to, like, make out with someone, you can just do that with someone you meet at a bar.
Ew.
I'm sorry. You don't need a dating that's app to do that.
I mean, I know, prefacing, if you do that, that's, like, your business. It's that's just true. My personality.
Yeah, this is for Sarah.
Yeah, this is for me. And anybody else who also is, like, I love the fact that I'm not on a dating app, but maybe I should get one, this is also for you.
Yeah. I will say, the only app that I feel like I can stand by, and it's not even from personal experience, is Bumble.
I have heard good things about Bumble.
This is, so that's where my sister met her boyfriend. They
okay,
met
I'm
on
sold.
Bumble, and like that, I don't know, that them as a couple, I'm like, wow, they probably would have never met if it wasn't for Bumble, and they are very good together.
Mm.
So I feel like if you're gonna pick one, I would pick Bumble.
Yeah.
Because I, from what I've heard, the girl has to initiate.
I think that is Bumble. So, like, someone told me that.
So you don't get, like, as many, I feel like you won't get as many, like, slimy people being like, hey girl, what's up? Whatever. I don't know what people say in DMs. But, like, you get to just come up with, you can do something very quippy and clever or just like.
Oh, God.
I know it's pressure, but.
That's something I didn't like about the fact. There's so much fear of rejection there that I'm just like, if I put myself out there, and what if the... But also, I don't know how dating apps are, because obviously they're probably matched at that point.
I think
and
you
then,
have to match, and then...
And then I have to say something.
And then you can send something, and then they can decide to respond or not.
Hmm.
And, like, for sure, there was a good, I don't know, probably not a month, but there was a good period of time where she would, like, reach out to someone, and then they, like, would maybe kind of, like, connect back and forth for, like, a little bit, and then it kind of died off.
Mm.
So it's just, like, who do you click with, who's willing to, like, make a joke when you make a joke, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't know what her, like, she had a set question that she would send, and that was, like, her litmus test of, like, is this person going to get my joke? Are they going to make a joke back?
I love their sister so much.
I know. That's so you just have to pick someone of like, okay, if I want someone clever, like, here's kind of a clever question.
Yeah. But I also, like, don't know if I'm that clever. Or maybe not as clever as Andrea.
She's
pretty
really
clever.
Good.
So
she's really good.
Yeah. I don't think I'm that level.
I don't know what else other people have met on.
I know a few people who've gotten married off of Tinder.
Okay, so I do know a couple people who met on Tinder, maybe not personally, but, and they've had, like, a real relationship come off of Tinder.
I know.
So maybe
but
it's
Tinder
changed
is
a little
so,
bit. Tinder feels very, like,
it's very casual,
like,
which I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not.
I have another friend who I think she met her boyfriend on OkCupid. And
what
they've been together. OkCupid.
Is that,
like,
really old?
It's like an older one,
what?
I think.
I thought OkCupid was a website originally, like kind of like Match
yes,
or something.
Yes, it did not start out as an app, but
it's an app now.
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
Unsure.
I think I've had one or two friends meet people on OkCupid, and one of them for sure has been like in a relationship with this guy for years. I think like 3 years actually.
Dang.
So,
yeah,
I think you just have to like pick one
and
that you kind of like get the vibe of, and then. See what happens.
Yeah. I have this idea in my head of wanting to meet someone organically.
Yeah.
I think I just bank on that very hard.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure the dating apps would feel very true to myself.
That
but also
sense.
It's fun watching my other friends do it. Actually, no. Let me correct myself. It's not necessarily fun watching them do it, but it's really interesting. Like, I like the idea of meeting new people.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have too many opportunities to just meet new people like that. That's why I'd want to do it. So I might do like Bumble BFF or something.
I was going to say, like, if you're not interested in like just meeting someone to date, you could do like a Bumble BFF or like a meetup
of
like something with similar interests. And then you go like do that thing. And if you meet someone there, then that's. Yeah.
That's a little bit more organic. That's true. But, like, some help in finding.
Because I've made friends on Instagram. Like, what's the difference?
Yeah.
That makes sense. Our friend, I have multiple friends named Maddie, but Maddie, the younger one, she informed me that she wanted to do Bumble BFF and, like, have a huge meetup and stuff. I was like, that's what kind of got me thinking about it. And then I asked her if she had any funny dating stories, and she told me, there's a lot of people who told me, like, oh, I have a good dating story, so please write them in.
Yes.
This is a shameless plug. Send us all of your dating stories, heyfriendcrush@gmail.com.
I want to hear them.
I want to hear the wackiest one. And even if your friend has one that's wacky, I want that to be sent in. We asked a couple of people already to send some in, so I'm waiting for her to send hers in.
Yes.
But I have one that Maddie was, like, seeing this guy, and he was like, what are your interests? And she was like, oh, I like this and this. He's like, okay, can I see your Instagram? And she was like, what do you mean? Like, my profile? He's like, no, like, the app. So what? Because you know how your ads on Instagram are tailored to, if I would say, like, oh, I want to go get, like, cookies, my phone will probably, in the next hour, promote a cookie place nearby or, like, ordering cookies off of, like, Amazon or something.
Yeah.
So she was, like, he went through my Instagram ads to see what my real interests were. She told me that, and I thought it was so genius. Isn't that amazing?
That's really clever.
Yes. And he was like, yeah, like, because, I mean, you can tell me something, but what you're being advertised on is probably your legitimate interest.
That person is too smart for me. You've thought too much about this. People are lying to you. Like,
Maybe that's, I don't know. I'm sure, knowing her. And
that's me being distressful. No. Like, what?
Yeah. Knowing her, I'm sure she thought it was like, oh, that's kind of smart. And she did say that. She said it is kind of smart.
That's really, really smart.
Yeah.
You're like, let me see your phone.
Yeah.
Who is advertising to you?
Yeah. But even if, that's the thing, is like, you can't be like, can I see your phone? Because that sounds so, like, helicopter dating kind of. But
when you're getting to know someone. First date type of environment.
Hey, can I see your Instagram?
Yeah, and you're like, I get, okay.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. My ads are probably so boring. It's all.
What is mine?
It's all like shampoo. It's truly all
mine's
shampoo.
Like restaurants, actually. This doesn't reflect my lifestyle.
Yeah, you hardly go out. It's because you probably look at restaurants for work, like on Instagram.
I do.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I've never clearly put that together. Mind blown.
I know. My ads are natural shampoos. I literally buy my shampoo from Target. They read my mind and they know I don't want to do that. So they advertise it to me. And then it's always like clothing, but
yeah,
it's usually something I've, like the cookies on my phone or whatever, have seen me looking at something else and they'll advertise it. So if anything, whoever looks at my Instagram ads is going to just know what I want to buy.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's me. That's,
yeah.
Where I want to go.
Yeah.
Or where the, like, work clients that I built for, find photos for, where they are.
Yeah. It probably makes you look very,
very traveled.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Also, I think it's really fun that people now feel that they can come to us and just start talking about stuff we've said.
Yeah.
And I feel bad because some of these things that they've told me about, I'm like, I said that? I forgot that I said it. My friend Hannah, shout out Hannah if she's listening.
Yeah.
But, and I'll just say, we plan on having her on at one point, so you'll get to hear/meet her. But yes. She messaged me and she was like, I didn't know what a Sheerio was before your podcast. And then I just immediately regretted even sharing that knowledge because it's so gross that it was like me being just angry at a niche group and it turned into me educating people about them. And that was not my intent. And I'm angry about it.
She like mentioned it to me too, and I was like, I had no idea that they were called Sheerios until we recorded.
Yeah.
And to her credit, she said that they should have been called Edheads.
Oh my gosh, that is why I love her.
She's so clever, because Edhead is way more clever.
Because he's a redhead.
Redhead, and his name is Ed. Edheads. So change your name, Sheerios. You will now be called collectively.
That just sounds like they're all just like a bunch of thumbs.
Like thumb thumbs from Spy Kids.
Yes, exactly. When you hear Edhead, that's my first thought is a walking thumb. Which, I mean,
You're trying so hard not to say
it. It goes on set.
The Cheerios are really coming for you this time. Like, there will come a day where they're going to be like, what? Who is this girl?
You know, I know they're going to come for me. I'm ready. I'm still waiting to be converted, truthfully. But that day hasn't come yet.
You need to just, like, sit and listen to the whole album.
Which one?
Any of them.
Oh. I honestly... Does he have that thing where all of his albums are a form of math?
He did that for the first four. So it was, like, plus, he's got more minus, than four? Times,
I think there's divided. Multiply divided and divide.
Yeah, multiply is the third one, I think. Yeah, and divide was the latest one. Unless he's come out with another one. I am not a Cheerio, so I cannot
You're
tell
not
you.
An Ed-head, I'm not an Ed-head, Alex. I'm an Ed-head.
Sorry. I'm not an Ed-head, so I cannot tell you how many albums he has.
Mm.
I just know that he did that for the first four. Kind of like how Adele...
Did her age?
Yeah.
That's actually something we should talk about. No, it's not.
How wonderful Adele is?
It's besides the point.
It goes but unsaid.
She did do 21, 20... No, she did it 19. That's a lie. I'm so mad. 19's my favorite album. 19, 21, 25.
Mm.
Which is wild.
She hasn't put out an album in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
She's just, like, living her life.
Yeah. She's, like, a mom, and I think she's going through, like, a divorce.
I think so.
So, she's got a lot more on her plate than making an album for the rest of us.
I know.
I love 19. Did I ever tell you about how my mom saw her when Adele was 19?
Mm-hmm. What?
Yes, my mom, I might be remembering this wrong, but my mom is a baller, and I think she drove down to San Diego to the House of Blues, and yes.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure because, yes, it was San Diego, because she said how she drove down there, and it was a really intimate concert, and Adele at one point, like, came into the crowd, and she had really, really long fingernails.
Yes, she's always had
really,
like,
long nails.
Yeah.
So she came into the crowd, and she's like, look, like, my nail's broken, like, I broke it at the zoo, or something like that. My mom was like, I was at the zoo that same day, like, if I would have seen her. And she was 19 at that point.
Wow.
And had only really had Chasing Pavements, because she performed it on SNL, and that's when my mom saw her. My mom's OG Adele fan. And she saw her live, and the opener was The Script.
What?
Yes. Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. I know.
I just love the fact that your mom saw Adele on SNL and was like, I'm going to drive to San Diego. I'm driving nine hours to go see her.
Mm-hmm. And she did. Wow. We've done that before. We saw Kimbra. Yes, we saw Kimbra in San Diego when I was in middle school, high school maybe. We drove down to House of Blues San Diego.
Wow.
I don't know why. Looking back.
Just to go?
I think so. So we saw her at 19. We went to her tour for 21, and that was in Berkeley, the Greek.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. So we did that. It was me and my sister. I think someone else. I'm sorry, whoever you are. I think it was just me and my sister. I feel bad. I should stop talking about that. And then for 25, she went and did, like, an arena tour or whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the tickets were crazy expensive. Ugh. And my mom was so upset because she's like, I have literally been a fan since the beginning and I don't get to see her because everyone else just suddenly likes her. So you can see where I get that from.
Yes.
Is my mother. But she's like, the nosebleeds were hundreds of dollars.
Oh my gosh.
I know. I was like, ugh, I felt so bad for her. And then Adele was like, I'm never going to go on tour again because I don't like performing. And I could just tell it ripped through my mother a little bit. I was just really...
Adele, come back.
I know. Do it for Naomi.
Yes. Yeah. Do it for the OG fans.
Yeah. But what's been going on with you?
Not a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
Just working. Mm. And
people ask me that today. What's been going on with you? And I'm just like, work.
Work. And then, I mean, like, this podcast.
That's true. Oh, and I should say that next time.
That's what I did. Was it last week? Yeah, last week when we were recording, like, we were going to record after church. And people are like, you know, what's new with you? What are you up to? And I was like, we're starting a podcast.
You did advertise it way more than I did.
Well, because then everyone, once we did launch it, everyone was like, you guys are doing a podcast? I was like, I know, we haven't told anyone.
Yeah. And someone asked me too recently, how long have you been planning on doing that? Has it been like a long-term thing?
Mm.
And I was like November. Which I was like, that's kind of a long time considering our first episode was in mid-February, but Yeah. We just didn't have time to record, but we had set up the idea of it. I also have to tell a story. My friend who listened to it was like, you need to tell them about the time. I already told you this. The time where I went to a karaoke bar.
Yes. Yes. We were talking about this yesterday. Yeah.
Yes. So back to Taylor Swift, obviously. This is not a Taylor Swift podcast, but somebody who had listened to the podcast was like, please tell the story about how we sing All Too Well. So we went to a karaoke bar for a friend's birthday, and they had All Too Well there. And it wasn't just a karaoke bar where the words were on the screen. It was videos with subtitles that you sing along to. Does that make sense?
Okay. Okay.
So we pick All Too Well. There's like a good couple of us who really love the song and are like, let's sing this song because it's so good. We start singing it, and we're standing in front of the screen because we know the words. We don't have to look. And all of a sudden, right. Everyone kind of just starts screaming, just collectively. It's a group of like 20.
Oh my gosh. 20
of us. I think like 20 something year olds in a dark soundproof room.
Yep.
And someone starts screaming, and all of a sudden I turn, and the video that was playing against the song All Too Well, the instrumental, was what I swear was a home video, a home movie. It looked like it was filmed maybe on iPhone, but
yikes,
it was a little bit too old to be, it looked like it was before iPhones. Anyways, a guy videotaping this narrative of a relationship with a blow-up doll. And when I say blow-up doll, it is exactly what you're imagining.
Oh my gosh.
So imagine the most beautiful song Taylor Swift has ever written to this terrible video of this man's tumultuous relationship.
Oh, wow.
Yes, there was drama. There was intrigue. But it was with the blow-up doll. He wanted me to tell that.
I'm in shock.
And I think it's really funny. But just, and it's a place in Sacramento. I won't put the name on here because they do deserve business. But we all wanted to be like, do they have comment cards where we should say, hey, your All Too Well video is a little bit too much.
Okay, well, so I have questions. Is it random videos just paired with whatever song you pick? And it's just like on, I mean, first of all, I don't know why this video is in there in the first place. Or is it this video is assigned to this song?
I don't know about the All Too Well version. We sang a few other songs like Sexy Back. I think that was set to the music video, but it was also off. Okay.
Oh, that's annoying.
And then anything by Neo. I think a lot of R&B had the music videos assigned to them.
Oh, okay.
But then when I sang ABBA, it was, because it's ABBA.
Yeah.
When I sang ABBA, it was a video montage of like a park somewhere, but not like Central Park. Just a park.
Just a park.
With maybe a pond in the middle, I think. I was just like, why?
That's so random.
Yeah. So it's half and half. It's very hit or miss.
Wow.
When it comes to...
Yeah, and that was a miss.
Mm-hmm. It was a big miss. It was foul.
So one time, not the only time. I've done karaoke a couple of times. Once, I think, I don't know what place you went to, but I went to somewhere similar. Was it downtown?
I went to one in Old Sack. Okay. That's enough information.
All right. The one I went to was in downtown. I don't remember what it's called, but you get like a private room and then like, it's just soundproof and you pick your songs or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I remember this was, I don't know, maybe 6 years ago, 7 years ago at this point. It was not at Kesha's height, but also before Kesha was like not allowed to make music and she had that like fight with her label for a long time. Yes. Does that make sense? So like, she'd released some songs. There was, like, an album that came out that wasn't great, but whatever. We're still letting her have it. So I remember picking a Kesha song to do a karaoke because I was like, this is fun. We're at a bar. We're going to do this. It was not a fun karaoke song. I was like...
What song was it?
I did blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Oh, yikes.
It was not great. It was really boring to sing, actually, because I was, like, up there, and I was like, this is a really fun song. Like, if I were to hear it, I'd want to go dance to it. But then being up there with a microphone, I was like,
yes,
this is terrible.
Yeah.
And I can see why people hate this music.
Ooh. I'm so cutting that out, for sure. I can't wait for this awkward jump. And it was just us laughing.
I know.
They'll never know. You'll never know. Anyways, but karaoke's so, hard.
Karaoke's hard. My best karaoke experience, though, was not in one of those little rooms. There was...
Was it at a bar?
It was at a bar. Yes. And it was a bar called Maryland's, also downtown. It's where Coin-Op is now. Yeah. It doesn't exist anymore. Coin-Op is now where this wonderful karaoke bar was. Aww. They had a full band.
Dude. You've told me about this.
It was the first place I ever did karaoke, and it was so much fun because you, like, have the energy of the whole band up there. And for someone who has always wanted to be able to, like...
Do that?
I've always wanted to be a singer.
Everyone
But I'm not, like, good enough of a singer to be, like, a frontman. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like, I think I have the energy to be a frontman. I do not have the vocal talent. So this was the perfect opportunity for me to, like, live my dream. And I don't even remember what these people, this band was called, but they were so cool. And my karaoke song was Cage the Elephants, Ain't No Rest for the Wicked.
Oh, I love you so much right now. I
kill that song. That one, and then I think there was some, like, old Maroon 5 song that I did at one point. Anyway, this is also, like, years and years ago, they were playing at Torch Club, which is, like, down the street.
Yeah.
We went there for my birthday on, like, a Sunday, because they only played on Sundays at that club. Anyway.
Highly recommend. A band that does it?
Yeah, it's like a band, and they do, like, they're a karaoke band. So they have, like, a booklet of, here, pick whatever song you want to pick. We know all of these. And I think it's, like, you pay $5 a song or something like that to go up and sing.
That's so fun.
It was the best. I kind of want to find them again, because...
We should.
That is the kind of karaoke that I love.
That's so rare, though.
I know. I had never heard... of, like, a karaoke band. It's always just, like, put the machine on or, you know, whatever. Go into one of those little rooms, but...
Yeah. Because that's the real thrill of singing in front of people.
Yes.
Is... I mean, I think everyone imagines that. At least I do. But
yes.
Of being,
like...
And having a band. Yeah.
And, like, I got the mic and just doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's probably what would be... I have a huge stage fright. Huge stage fright. Or maybe... our friend Kelsey, I think, has called it, like, performance anxiety.
Oh, yeah,
It's not necessarily I'm afraid of being on stage. Like, if I'm going to give an announcement, it's, like, a set thing. They're going to hear from me, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But performing
makes
me very nervous, which is, I don't know why I'm doing a podcast.
Well, we're just in your room talking.
That's super true.
It's very, like, low risk.
That's so true, yeah. And they don't have to know half the stuff that we say.
That's
truly. But to have a band... That's what everyone dreams of, is being with a band and kind of rocking out like a performer, as opposed to, you're singing to an instrumental track in a private soundproof room.
Yeah, and you might not know when to come in. They would help you. They would, like, look at you and be like, all right, start singing. Like, it was very good. Because you get up there and you realize, like, oh, I know this song. And I can sing this song in my car. But...
Oh, yeah.
But, like, if you're just playing the music, I don't actually know, like, when to come in. So, anyway. All of your friends, there's, like, a dance floor, and then people would, like, come up. I'm telling you, it gave you the full
experience.
I am in a band experience.
Oh, that's a way better way to put it, is that I'm in a band experience as opposed to I'm going to sing in front of people.
Yeah.
Because that can be really cringy sometimes.
Yeah, the blah, blah, blah song. The Kesha
song. I'm sure it was fine.
It was so cringy. No. It was so bad. I remember being there and being up there. I was like, this song is really long. It's really long and it's really repetitive. And
I have a friend who used to do karaoke. He jokes professionally. I think he either worked at a bar, or he would frequent a bar where they had karaoke, but like no one would do it, so he would just do it. He's like, I got a lot of practice in. So I know songs that everybody... He's like, it really helped because he knew songs that everyone would like that he could pick. And
yes.
If someone has... But they're obscure enough that not everyone's going to pick singing it.
Uh-huh.
And then he said it also helped kind of picking a song that everyone could sing along to certain parts. And also something that's short. That's what it was. He also said it was really good to practice... knowing how long the song actually is and how it feels. Because when you get up there, you can sing the first part and then you're like, oh crap, the second verse is coming and this isn't over. It just feels like time just drones on and on when you're up there.
Dang. Okay, I have a question. What are your karaoke songs.
I actually was going to bleed into that.
Yeah, so, what's yours? Because I just told you mine. That's if that's not on there, I'm probably going to pick, like, Taylor Swift or something else.
So, that same event with the blow-up doll video. Mm-hmm. So, weeks before, when our friend was like, I love karaoke, we're going to do karaoke for my birthday, and I was like, oh, God, my stage fright's kicking in a month in advance. Like, I was not ready. So then I created a playlist on Spotify called Top of the Lung, because you sing at the top of your lungs. It's Top of the Lung.
I love it.
Of a bunch of karaoke songs that I would practice in my car. Yes. And not to practice, like, belting it out. I do that normally, but to make sure I knew the words to these songs. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's 40 songs on there, because it's a mixture of songs that I like and I think would be fun and that I know people would know the words to,
yes.
plus songs that I Googled best karaoke song. So,
wow.
And one of the top ones, surprisingly, is Let's Stay Together by, like, Al Green.
Really?
Yes. That was, like, the top on a ton of lists that I had seen.
Because it's easy to sing?
I don't know why it's on the lists. It's just, I guess it's really recognizable.
Yeah.
I do know, I think it's on there just because I was like, oh, if it's going to be on all of these articles, then I'll just put it on there.
Yeah.
But there's obviously a lot of ABBA. Anything from their greatest hits, I can take that away.
Heck yeah.
Obviously anything by Queen, Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yes.
My favorite Queen song is actually...
Oh, this is a good question because I'm a huge Queen fan. Song?
Yes. Bohemian Rhapsody, the movie, was so fun. Don't Stop Me Now is my, I think, my choice.
I haven't seen the movie.
That's...
I love Queen, like, a lot.
That's fine. I'm going to let you pass on that one because it's fun to watch.
Okay.
And Rami Malek is amazing. Mm-hmm. But it's not one of those things where it's like, you have to see it. It's canon, you know?
Okay. Okay.
But it's good. It's good. And then Queen. I think Don't Stop Me Now by Queen is my...
great song.
That's my Queen... pick. And then ABBA's, okay. I think, is either Dancing Queen or Mamma Mia.
Ooh.
Because those are, everyone knows those. Yeah. And then Doo-Wop by Lauryn Hill.
Oh, I don't know that one.
They played it at Madewell all the time.
Oh, that thing. Probably do know it. I think I do.
Yes, you do know it.
Okay.
A Thousand Miles by Vanessa Carlton.
Heck yeah. that is still on my playlist.
Why?
Because I loved that song when it came out, and I'm very nostalgic. And actually, I have a favorite Vanessa Carlton song.
Oh, if it's not that, that's concerning.
It's not that song. It's White Houses. If you even remotely liked Vanessa Carlton at any point in time, you should listen to White Houses. It's like this story.
I can't take you seriously.
I know. I'm like spilling my guts here. It's, like, this cool, just, like, recounting of this summer that she, like, lived with a bunch of people that she didn't really know. And it, like, anyway, it's a beautiful song. I love it. It's literally still, like, on my
Is that one of iPod. Your karaoke songs, though?
No, because no one knows it. But it's not a karaoke song. It's just my favorite Vanessa Carlton song.
Oh, okay, okay, okay.
My favorite Queen song, though, is Killer Queen, and I feel like
that's also my second favorite song.
That would be a really good one.
But no one knows it, I think, as much as, like, Don't Stop Me Now or Bohemian Rhapsody or Another One Bites the Dust. Mm-hmm. Like, but Killer Queen, I remember in preparation for watching Bohemian Rhapsody, I listened to the Spotify playlist that has, like, all their hits.
Yeah.
And Killer Queen was my favorite because it's just so, like... I don't know.
It's fun.
It's fun. It's very boppity.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ugh, I love that song.
Okay, are you ready to get some throwbacks in here?
Yes.
Dreams by Fleetwood Mac.
Ah, nice.
Don't You Want Me by The Human League, which is like the waitress at a cocktail bar song. The guy's like, you were, that much is true.
I don't remember this.
You would know it.
I heard it, I would know it.
A lot of Cyndi Lauper, a lot of Grease. That's something I realized when I went to karaokeing was a lot of my songs of choice were from movie musicals.
Heck, yes.
Because what else are you supposed to sing? Yeah. Like Grease and Mamma Mia, those are so easy.
Mm-hmm.
I can't hit that note in Summer Nights, though, so that's not my...
I don't even think John Travolta can hit that note.
He can't. He tried.
That's high.
Oh, gosh. I mean, all the classics, like Africa by Toto, which is a very long song.
Okay, it
very
is.
Very long.
It is. Sorry. This is like a tangent.
Let's do it.
So... my toddler, my son, is very into The Lion King right now. So we've watched it so many times. We've watched
the original one. We've watched Lion King 2, Lion King 1 and a half. We've watched
Lion King 1 and a half is so good. I have it on DVD. I'm not even kidding you right now. If I text my sister right now, which is your favorite Lion King, she'd probably say Lion King 1 and a half.
I love Lion King 1
and a half. It's so good.
It's so funny.
It's so perfect.
So we've watched that. We've watched the Lion King, the live, well, it's not really live action, but the new one. This all has a point. I used to think, so in the original, the animated one, Matthew Broderick is the voice of Simba, mm-hmm. of adult Simba. And I always, like my whole life, have thought that Matthew Broderick is the singing voice of Simba.
No,
he's not. Actually, it's the lead singer from Toto. Wait. It's that guy.
For real?
For real. Because I also play music for Isaac, and we've played the Lion King soundtrack as to avoid more screen time. So I just play the music, and I was looking at the names that are credited, and I was like, wait, that's not Matthew Broderick.
Because I knew Matthew Broderick didn't sing.
Point is, I like Google the name of this person, and they're like, it's the lead singer of Toto.
What?
Isn't that crazy?
That's actually really fitting.
I know, and then I was like, the Africa song, like.
Whoa.
And then it got me thinking, did he write that song before or after?
Also, if you're going to sing any karaoke at any point, you have to sing a song by our punk queen, Avril Lavigne. Yes, she's not punk queen. I know I'm probably insulting so many punk heads.
Punk
yeah.
queen at one point in time. She is the reason, no joke, that I ever wanted to straighten my hair. I always wanted my hair to just lay flat
like hers. That.
Like,
did you also want pink stripes in it as well?
No, because I've never liked pink.
Okay.
But, like, the heavy eyeliner, I was very into that. I wore, like, tons of bracelets, and, like, that's when I first got, like, Converse. I was committed. I never did, like, the tie thing, but I loved
Avril Lavigne. I think I did the tie thing, but not because of Avril Lavigne.
That first, what? Not because
that's
of her.
That's beside the point. Wow. But, yeah.
Her
but
first it's a album look. Is so good. So
all
good.
Of her, I mean, before she, I do kind of believe the conspiracy
theory. Okay, I was going to say, are we going to talk about this? She's been replaced?
I kind of believe it. Because I
kind of want to believe it.
I kind of want to believe it. I know it's probably not a thing, but I've seen videos. It's a video evidence, like a comparison, where when she's like punk queen Avril Lavigne, mm-hmm. they tell her to like eat a worm or something or a bug. And she just does it like, because she's trying to be like hardcore, whatever.
Right.
And then after she supposedly gets replaced, and it's Princess Avril Lavigne who's like wearing like all pink.
Yes.
And like she's wearing like skirts and heels and stuff. Mm-hmm. They have her like try to eat a very similar, like another insect, and she starts like squealing. Like, ew. And you watch it back to back, and it's so jarring because it's like, okay. I mean, I'm sure maybe you grew out of it.
But, like, what would have to happen to you for you to have, like, such a different reaction?
Yeah.
Because I feel like, if anything, like, a teenage girl is going to be like, ugh, I don't want to.
Yeah.
And I feel like adult me would be like, I don't want to do this.
But I'll just do it anyway.
Maybe I'll just go for it.
Yeah, but if you watch it back to back, it's crazy. So when I saw that, I was like, yep, she was replaced. It was immediate. I was like, I totally agree with this.
Yeah, I just, yeah, maybe because I don't want to believe that, like, her music got so bad so quickly, because it did. It got really bad.
Yeah.
I feel like the first two albums were pretty good.
Yes, because that's all her hits, so.
But that's, like, if I've listened to all of both of those albums, and they're just.
Good for you.
There's very intense music on there, like, there's really sad music, mm-hmm. you know, my favorite kind of music.
Who isn't it?
And so then to, like, see that and be like, oh, this is very, like, deep and emotional. And then
like Vanessa Carlton?
Yes, like Vanessa Carlton. Yeah. Also like Michelle Branch, who I also loved back in the day. Those were, like, my three. Actually, Vanessa Carlton, I just kind of liked her music. I didn't, like, follow her.
Gosh, that's so before my time.
I know. You were, like, when you're learning how to, like, read while I was probably. Like, oh, my gosh, I want to be like Avril Lavigne.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think Avril Lavigne is early 2000s, and I
was up literally 2002.
I was learning to read.
Wow.
Solid.
Wow.
But if
I was having, like, my first girl group, like, friend group drama ever happening.
When I was learning
to read. And you were learning how to read.
It's the worst. Every episode, we have to find some weird
age thing.
We have to. But it's just funny because even though we say it out loud, I still don't believe it.
I don't either.
I just am like, oh, that's whatever. That's a joke.
I have another, like, celebrity conspiracy theory that Brandon told me recently.
Wait. Oh, my gosh.
It's about Britney Spears.
Wait, about her mind being, like...
About her, like...
Her breakdown and then they reprogrammed her?
No. No, it's not that intense.
Okay.
It's more like how, like, all of her videos and all of her work has been this, like, cry for help. And how no one has, like, really put it together. I think he read it either on a Reddit thread or a Twitter thread. So
it's fully researched.
I mean, yes, it's either like someone just who has way too much time to think about these things, or it's fully researched. And I guess like the gist of it is basically like everything is about, when was it? In the Oops, I Did It Again video, she's like literally in a cage, and she said, like, supposedly she told the director, like, I don't care what else we do, but like I need to be in a cage at some point. And just like she does a lot of that with, like, even I'm a Slave for You.
I was gonna say I'm a Slave for You is very much that.
A lot of her work is all about being, like, trapped, and she's like trying to break free.
Well,
and so the whole thing is like that her dad and her parents had been, like, uber controlling. I mean, and at this point she's like doesn't even have custody of her kids.
She doesn't?
No.
I know she's, like, holed up in her house, but her dad controls, like, all of her assets.
Yes, because she had her breakdown, and yeah. So they took control of it. But there's a theory that, like, they enabled the breakdown to happen so that they could take control
of her stuff. That makes total sense.
Isn't that crazy?
Mm-hmm. So, back to that. Those are my karaoke songs.
Right? That's our whole tangent.
But dang, good. I love celebrity conspiracy theories.
I know.
We should do a whole episode on conspiracy theories that mm-hmm. we like. Yeah. Also, send us your conspiracy theories. On top of your weird dating stories, follow it up with your favorite conspiracy
theories. Yes, please.
Yeah. My dad is really into those.
There's I haven't seen the documentary, but there's one about Kurt Cobain and Courtney Love.
What?
And it, like, tries to set out to prove that, like, she killed him. It's on Netflix. Well, at least it was back in the day. It's called Soaked in Bleach, which is a Nirvana lyric.
My heart is pounding so fast right now. I still haven't seen it.
We should watch this and then...
Can we?
Yes.
My heart is literally beating out of my chest because mm-hmm. that...
And, like, Brandon walked away from it and he was like, she did it. She did it.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I know.
It's intense. Oh, that's so touchy. Oh no.
I know. Like, I haven't watched it in all of these years, but... Maybe we should. We have to add that to the list. You need to watch Cheer. And you need to watch the Taylor Swift documentary. Still. Send us an email, comment on our Instagram, and force Sarah to watch this.
Here's the thing. I thought having a podcast would keep me really accountable. It has not.
No, because it turns out.
It turns out a whole week went by,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't do it. I probably could have done it. I should have just taken one of those nights and just... stayed home and watched it just for the sake of accountability. I really should have.
I know.
But Cheer, that Soaked in Bleach is what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
How recently was that made?
Oh, it was probably over, like, 5 years ago, 4 years ago.
Okay,
it's not, so it's still not on super there. New. Yeah.
Dang.
Okay.
Right. Well. So three things we're loving.
Okay.
And then a friend crush.
Yeah, let's do that. So my first one is Valentine's candy. I went to Target.
After Valentine's Day?
No. I went before. I did not risk going yesterday. Oof. I went before. Everything was already on sale.
Really?
Like, yeah, that's the thing with, like, probably not as intensely on sale as it was, like, yesterday. Day after.
Yeah.
But I went, like, a couple of days before, and I just picked up some, like, Reese's peanut butter hearts. And some Valentine's Skittles for Brandon, because he loves Skittles.
Dang.
Yeah.
Do you like Ferrero Rochers?
Yes.
Did you see out there?
Yes.
My sweet father got me, for Valentine's Day, he sent it via Amazon Prime, a plastic case. I'll find a photo. I'll take a photo of it. It's not just like a cheap plastic to-go case. It is hard bulletproof flat, like not bulletproof.
Wow.
I called it the Pope Mobile of Ferrero Rochers. It's so intensely thick and heavy, but it's 48 Ferrero Rochers. Three different kinds.
What?
Yes. So if you want some, you're more than welcome to help yourself.
I will absolutely have some.
And I opened it, and this will tie in maybe to like my thing I'm loving this week. There is a meme, it was a Twitter thread that this girl did about how she covered Brussels sprouts in chocolate.
I've seen this.
And wrapped it in Ferrero Rocher wrapping, like wrapping paper and or whatever.
And didn't her, dad hate Brussels sprouts?
Yes. So she would trick her dad. And then it gets funnier the more you read it, because it goes, as I decided to commit to the long game.
Wow.
I decided this last year not to do it. So then I need to find it.
That's like a slow clap. Wow. It's
so good. So when he sent them to me, I thought that's why he sent them. But that's probably my thing, is that meme mixed with the fact that my dad also got me 48 Ferrero Rochers.
I love that. But you need real ones.
You need to go and when we're done with this, you're going to carry it and pick it up and see how thick the plastic case is. That's what it is. It's a case. Not just a box. Wow. It's a real case. That's mine. Okay. Your turn.
Okay. My second one is a podcast.
Yay.
I love the NPR podcast Code Switch. It's such a cool podcast about race and culture and identity, and the hosts are really cool, and they cover these historical topics and stories that you would never hear about any other time.
Aww.
They're the ones that they've been doing have been covering, they collaborate with a lot of other podcasts too, which is cool.
Aww.
And they've been covering this strike that happened in New York, this teachers strike that I've literally never heard of before, but the effect of it, still a lot of what happened in that strike has affected how policy
really
works now in the school district. Anyway,
wow,
it's very interesting. Their episodes are always interesting.
Code Switch, and it's an NPR.
Oh yeah,
podcast.
Ooh,
mm-hmm. So it's gonna be really well produced and well.
Oh yeah,
well done.
Yeah,
that's your second one.
Yep.
Okay, my second thing is, I've been really getting into this YouTube series. So there's the Bon Appetit YouTube channel.
Okay.
Which is actually, it's funny how much of a cult following it has. It's this weirdly popular part of the internet you would never guess exists. Ooh. But their YouTube channel is one of the top ones, I think. So I've had a bunch of different friends tell me about it. But there's a particular series that they do. So it's, I think, 5 or 6 of their head chefs and contributors and like food editors have their own series. So a couple of them do reverse engineering.
Oh.
So one of them, Chris, he'll smell something and taste something and try to recreate it based on that.
What?
Yes. And then, so the one I've been really into is Claire's Gourmet Makes. So she takes a popular food, and tries to recreate it from scratch, but make it a little bit more gourmet. So I had sat down and just absolutely went nuts on watching a bunch. So she did, she does Ferrero Rochers. I haven't seen that one yet. I should, since it's very on theme for me. But I watched the one where she did Ben and Jerry's, and it was really fascinating because it's just ice cream, but she did her own flavors and she did puns based off of the rest of the staff.
Wow.
I watched her do Butterfingers. That one was really fun to watch, her Butterfingers one.
Oh my gosh.
And then she's done Kit Kats. She does candies, and then she'll do Lay's. She does pizza rolls. So she'll just take any food and just recreate it.
I have to see that.
It's really good. And so it starts out with her literally breaking it down. She'll read the ingredients. She'll analyze the flavor and the texture and kind of assume what's in it. And then she starts doing all these different tests, and it's really well done. And so I started watching her Gourmet Makes, and it's so fun. And she's really funny, and I think it's probably the most popular series on their channel.
Okay.
It means anyone can just remake it. Not anyone, but she goes through. And at the end, it's after all of the different tests that you watch her do on camera, then she compiles and it's okay, so here's what you do if you want to Yeah, it's really good.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool.
That's my second one. That's what I was I was struggling to remember it.
But
that's
so I don't know if I have a third, but what you said reminded me of this other cool series that I've found on YouTube, or someone told me about it. It's called Worth It. I think it's BuzzFeed Food. And it's these two guys go around.
Yes!
And they
Is it the Try Guys? No.
I think it is the Try Guys.
Yeah, we're...
Or it started out as them, and then it's, like, devolved, or, like, evolved into something else. But they, like, go to three different places, like, one cheap. Type of food, three different price points.
Yes.
Like, cheap, mid-range, the most expensive.
Yes.
And they, like, do, like, sushi and burgers.
I've seen the sushi one.
They do, like, hot dogs. And they literally, there's, like, I don't know, 5-6 seasons of this show. And it's little 15-minute episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So consumable, so fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't watched it in a long time, but when you were talking about that, I was like, that reminds me of that show.
I've seen a couple episodes of that. The sushi one I watched because, heyo, I love sushi.
Heck yeah.
And I think they said that the most expensive one was really good, but they actually, like, if they were going to go back, they would go back for, like, the cheap one.
Yeah.
So like, it was pretty good.
Yeah. Probably my third one, now that I'm thinking about it, is a YouTube channel.
Nice.
Speaking of YouTube, it's Best Dressed, and she was a film student at UCLA and also a YouTuber, style and fashion.
I'm not ready.
No, you're not. She's amazing. She just moved from LA to New York. And
she probably belongs there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's like from the East Coast originally, moved to LA because she wanted to like work in film. So she came to LA to study film, work in film, ended up kind of transitioning her life into making YouTube content. And, she's like working on a jewelry line and stuff like that. Anyway, her style is so good. It's nothing that I would ever wear, but I love her style so much. And the way she makes her videos, it's like, wow, you clearly know what you're doing.
Like, she just like from a film? Like, yes. Because she uses her film background?
Yes, because she knows how to construct a story. And so even though it's just like here, like her video of like, I moved to New York is literally a whole, it's like 18 minutes of like different snippets of her preparing to move, and like some of it is talking to camera, some of it is just like establishing shots of like scenery. It's so wonderful.
Ooh, I like that idea a lot.
She does really, really amazing work, and she's funny and relatable. I like her.
Yeah, because you're combining a bunch of different perspectives, like talking to camera, but then also something really cinematic.
Yes.
But something also kind of like a vlog where it's more lifelike.
Yeah.
Huh.
It's amazing. It's like her skill is like what I wish I could do with YouTube. Like, I wish I had the ability, because she's also like,
You can.
It would take me years. Like, she has talked about how like she's just very real and relatable, and she's so cool. She's also like,
okay, I think my third thing is the past two nights that I've gone out, I've ended up at one of the same bars. And it's a bar called Bottle and Barlow. Nice. If you like it, if you don't like it, that's your business. But my favorite thing that I've just realized is how much I love photo booths. It's just so wild, like how, even sober, I think I could really have fun with a photo booth. But when you just have a little bit to drink and with people that you enjoy, you just really go hard in that photo booth.
Yeah.
And the one at Bottle and Barlow in particular, at least the last couple of times I've gone, so on a Friday night and a Saturday night, it was in free mode. So you just type in your email address and it sends you each photo individually and then a photo of what the strips would look like.
Because
I had two strips in one photo and then a GIF. And I say GIF. That's how I'm going to pronounce it.
It's pronounced GIF.
You know what?
We can fight about this later.
We can fight about that later. It's fine. They send you a GIF of all photos that just like, it's like a loop of all the photos, which is, so me and my friends did like 6 of them on Friday night. And then yesterday I did like a couple. But it was so much fun. Since it was in free mode, you don't have to pay, but that means you don't get like a physical strip.
They're so fun.
Cause it's also like, it just so like, it lets you kind of be free, even though you're in this confined space.
But you like feel like it's a little private moment.
That's going to be captured on photo forever and emailed to you.
Yeah.
In the form of a GIF. So that's my third thing.
Love it.
Who's your friend crush?
Oh, well.
I think we have the same person.
Yes.
You do it. You'd go first.
It's our friend, Joanna Miller.
Yes.
She is, first of all, a fellow Swiftie. Yeah. And she's starting a new business, which is very exciting. So we'll probably have her on to talk about that, too.
Yeah. It's at
Jam Baby Shop on Instagram. And
it's so cute.
We're stoked for her, man.
We're both looking at it on Instagram.
I know. I want to see. She doesn't have anything posted yet, but I'm excited for her.
It'll be very well done.
She has beautiful taste.
She does.
Like, wonderful taste. Mm-hmm. Just the way she dresses. She's always, like, just trendy enough. She's going to listen to this and be like, what? Why are you guys talking about me like this? But
no.
Joanna, we love you.
We do. And her shop is going to be ethically sourced and mostly and sustainable, which is awesome.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that she's our friend crush this week.
Yep.
We love you. We're excited for your business.
Yes. But we'll have you on here to talk about it.
Yeah, we will. All right. So,
cool.
Thank you for listening, by the way, for the people who... Because the first one, they're like, oh, I can listen to it. If you've made it through the second one, we really do love you.
Yeah.
That means a lot to us. Okay, let's do shameless plugs.
Friend Crush Podcast.
Yes.
On Instagram.
Send us your dating stories, conspiracy theories, mm-hmm. and any other fun tidbits you want us to know about.
Other cool documentaries we should watch.
Ooh, I love a good doc. So same. Send that to heyfriendcrush@gmail.com. You can find Alex at tinted_green. Mm-hmm. You can find me at Sarah Akiyama. I spelled it in the first episode, so you could just go back and listen to that. I'm not doing it again.
No, you shouldn't have to do it every time.
Thank you.
Subscribe.
Oh, yes.
And rate us. Give us a 5-star review.
Yes. Keep crushing it, and
we'll see you next time.